Ready to start. It's we'll call the order of the Board of Supervisors meeting at 8:46 on the clock. Start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation: Jurgens, Hill, Bauman, Lytle, Byers, and Team. No, Jurgens, Hill, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Team, and Bauman will be gone all day. Consent agenda. Number one is the general agenda. Number two is approved minutes of the meeting held August 17, 2016. Approve all claims through August 31st, 2016 in the amount of $5,289,232.51, except claim number 16090074 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $1,691.77, and claim number 16090079 to RL Team and Construction in the amount of $15,935.21. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve receiving Gage County inventory statement and placing on file. And then number six, Galen came up to me and talked about the fact that we'd like to pull that off for today, that we will not include number six on there. Galen has an email in to Mark Minnelli to make sure that doing that, approving those boundary maps, doesn't maybe create another issue with our state funding, or we're just wanting to make sure. So before we approve that, we will pull number six off of there on the next page, and we will not, that will not be a part of the consent agenda today until we get clarification on that from Galen gets clarification from Minnelli's office on that. So we don't want to approve something, I guess, or whatever, and then have that come back, and whoops, we did that, I think, one other time here or something and stuff. So it's just the first five things on there that's on the consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda.
A motion by Lytle, second by Thiemann. And part of the big amount of the claims there, we'll talk a little bit about it, I guess, in Road and Bridge, but we did pay Paulson Construction $2,607,851.19 for Hickory Road, and that's mainly for the concrete on the Hickory Road. We did pay that this time. And then as part of that, we did a $2 million transfer out of inheritance into the sinking fund. So then this was all paid out of the sinking fund. So that's why our claim amount there is over $5 million this time, which is really huge compared to what we always are or whatever. So, but we'll talk a little bit about more about Hickory Road funding there and stuff when we get to the Road and Bridge. So any other questions or comments about consent agenda? If not, vote 6-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items.
Got some for me?
This is where, okay. Unless, because we don't have you on the agenda otherwise. So if you wanted to talk, we need you to come up and, okay. Yeah. No, this is where, if you want to comment, this is where you comment or questions. Or
I submitted a spreadsheet to Mr. Jurgens.
Identify yourself, please.
My name's John Niemeyer, Cortland, Nebraska. Okay. I submitted a spreadsheet to Mr. Jurgens regarding gravel for stockpiling here for Gage County. I put some numbers together for you all to look at. They are purely preliminary, however, it looks like it could be beneficial for you guys. So I don't know if that's something you want to talk about today, but I'm here, and if so, I can walk you through it. If not, we can come back another day. So
Don, could you make this? I didn't get this done.
I got 10 copies in my briefcase.
Okay.
Here.
Or do you want to hand everybody a copy?
Sure.
In looking through this, I've talked to John a couple times on this. This is concerning backhauling gravel from Columbus area, John?
Yes.
To a central location, basically.
One to Galen, too.
He's put this together, and there's some, these are assumptions that's John's using, but a lot of the assumptions I think are correct. So, I would like to maybe down the road, because of lack of availability down the road, I mean, there's going to be some issues. Everything he says in here is probably close to being accurate, and he might be low on some of these. Anyway, this is something I think we ought to seriously look at down the road. When we can start with this, I don't know, but it's something that if you study it, and I haven't had a lot of time. I was going to get together, Galen, I told John I didn't have time to do that yet either. But everybody's got a copy of what he basically just an analysis of what he thinks the county's costs are incurred here, and it's just something good to look at.
John?
And I think there's two things we need to do, and we talked about this last time, but we haven't done anything with it since, is we probably need to establish a county site to stockpile this, or determine whether we're going to stockpile it on a county site or on one of John's sites. And the second is we need to make sure we're getting the same quality of gravel or better from Columbus as we're getting from...
I can answer that right now. Yeah. I just talked to Central Sand over in Fairbury, and their gravel over there, the number 10 sieve on their gravel is coming in at between 72 and 76% that gets held up by that sieve. The stuff we're getting out of the Central Sand is 89, so it's quite a bit higher quality from Columbus than what we're getting out of Fairbury. So it's good quality material.
Is it fairly coarse, John? I guess I've never...
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Okay. I brought that. Yeah, I didn't bring my buckets along this time.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Right. Well, and I'll just make one other quick comment. I think this is something we can discuss, like a committee meeting. That's
absolutely.
Probably more where, and we need you to come back sometime.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, and I've posted this on my Google account, and Google Docs, so you know you guys can access that and you know modify it however you want and plug the actual numbers in. I'm not privy to all the information from the county records, so and I didn't have enough time frankly to go get it, so I'm just when I pay my employees, I'm going off of what my rates are and what my costs are per mile, and I'm guessing that my costs and the county's costs probably aren't a whole lot different, so I understand what it costs to run up and down the road. So
we will be opening our fall bids here too later this morning.
Yeah. Well, I submitted one of those too. So.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So you might be seeing me again.
And stuff. So I mean, and this is stuff like we've got Eric and stuff too. Some of these guys are familiar with the
absolutely.
Hauling and all that stuff. I mean, that's, and we will definitely have questions. So I don't know about next committee meeting or in 3-4 weeks or whatever. One of these committee meetings that we'll. You visit with Terry and see when you can come back, and then let's talk more about this too.
Well, that's fine. If you'd like me included, that's fine. Otherwise, you know, if you have your own committee that you want to nail down
first.
With, that's
okay.
Fine. I'm just a concerned citizen here, so.
I still agree too, and I mean you made some good points here. Also, we've got loaders that, you know,
right.
On the private side, you can't justify having them when they work that few hours in a year's time.
Right.
I think the stockpile idea is a good idea. Run our trucks locally, haul a whole bunch of loads today when you can control it over a half-hour round trip instead of having to stretch it over a two-three-hour round trip. Plus,
right.
No waiting time. It's just money in the bank. Let the private hauler sit on the wait time.
Exactly. More efficient. So anyway, thanks for your time. I don't have anything else. If you have any questions, just let me know. But I just made the spreadsheet up for you guys to look at. So
Terry, have your number? I think.
Oh yeah,
I think I did too.
All right.
Oh, got it.
I might have it also.
Have you seen this?
Gary's got it too. Yeah.
Thursday night or
what was it? More DOT stuff?
September 8th. Yeah.
I love DOT. All right.
Who's the sheriff?
Well, Eric's trying to get people there for his support that night, I guess. So yeah,
I think
he's not.
I think that's
he's
informational.
Not carrying, is he?
No, well,
All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you, John. Thanks for coming. Could, if you like.
Certainly welcome to.
9:30, we have that scheduled to open those bids, so you bet. Next up on the, and I guess any more comments from the public? Seeing none, we'll on to the next item. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove claim number 16090074 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $1,691.77.
Move to approve claim number 16090074.
Second.
Motion by Thiemann, second by Hill. Vote. Five in favor with Juergens abstaining. Next, entertain a motion to approve or disapprove claim number 160079 to RL Thiemann Construction in the amount of $15,935.21. The total amount for all the claims through August 31, 2016 would then be $5,306,859.49.
Move to approve claim number 160079 to RL Thiemann Construction in the amount of $15,935.21.
Second.
Motion by Byers, second by Lytle. Vote. Five in favor with Thiemann. Your thing don't work, does it? Abstaining. Yeah.
I was voting two ways there for a second.
You were.
It's a matter of learning how to work.
Yes.
It's not the button.
Committee report. Buildings and grounds.
I really have been gone, but... Davey is gone today, but I don't know, is there anything? I don't think we've had anything unusual, John.
The only thing we discussed, started to discuss, was the Wymore building, and I don't know if Roger's got a report on it now or not.
I don't have it. I mean, nothing new other than what we talked about yesterday.
All right.
Monday, whatever it was.
Okay. I guess that's it.
We're still waiting on...
just finalizing that agreement. I haven't had a chance to get Mr. Hawkins and to come in. As soon as that happens, I'll bring the proposal to you guys. And Andy's been working with me on that.
Andy's been working on it.
We'll have the city of Wymore already covered once we get to the point up here.
Okay.
That's good.
Equalization. I don't think anything there either. Finance. We'll be on the agenda later here. We'll have a public hearing for our proposed budget. So I guess unless somebody has something else there, but go ahead.
Well, like I always like to do, I'll go through some of the bigger amounts here. Road fund, A-Sand and gravel, $10,876. I'll round these off. Beatrice Concrete, $54,000. That's for sand and gravel, rock. R.L. Thiemann, $15,900. Rock on Incorporated Gravel Hauling for Townships only, $14,933. Road and Bridge Sinking, of course, you'll bring that up in, and there was a transfer, and that shows on there, there's a transfer from the Inheritance Fund to Road and Bridge Sinking to pay Paulson for the road work out there. And John's got more details on the when we do Road and Bridge.
Yep. Human resource employee relationship.
The elected officials have done some work on proposed changes to the employee handbook, and we're in the process of reviewing that.
Good. Law enforcement emergency management.
on the emergency management side, September is National Preparedness Month, and Tim will be doing some spots on the radio. So. Hopefully that'll help people be prepared.
Prepared for what, Gary?
Everything.
Oh, okay.
Emergencies, yeah.
The election.
Weather. The election.
I think it's prepared for everything.
Okay.
I kind of had the same question, Terry. As far as the sheriff's department, not a whole lot new. Gus is breaking cars and fixing cars and putting new cars on the road. So same old, I guess.
Well, Gus did talk about, though, that I think the jail was at 40. That includes people in other places, you were at 40 or whatever. So business is good.
And he's filled up Washington.
And he's filled up Washington. Yeah, he commented. He's,
we need to back up just a little bit on building grounds. Gus does want us, building grounds committee, to come together to come over to look at the facility, and so he can point out some things that need to be done and some of the situations they're in. So we'll need to find time in the committee meeting to go over as building grounds committee.
Do we know when the jail standards are meeting here?
The 12th at 9 will be our annual inspection. They haven't got back to me yet on when they're going to have the corporate meeting.
Gus also got some grant money, or we think we have some grant money for the new drug dog, so that's good news, too.
Okay. Road and Bridge.
Sheriff of Communications was here to discuss the Charter Tower that has a new owner now, and the Highway Department currently pays $400 a month for it due to the change in ownership there. Schaefer has inquired more costs, and that will be going up another $40 a month. The county has paid Paulson Constructors $2,607,851 for the Hickory Road, which leaves a balance of $650,897. And we had discussion on the railroad crossing. The contractor will have to come back to finish that because it's not going to be an agreement with the railroad in place at that time.
I think that's important here, too. And I either in my notes or something there, I started writing something else, but Galen has talked with Paulson and with Manelli or whatever, and our take on that is, Terry, I know you weren't here, but that Paulson will come back, and once the railroad crossing is done, and they will be pouring the cement. Paulson will be, right. Yeah. And that, so that is not, you know, at one time we thought maybe that was going to be what we call outside of the contract, you know.
Right.
But now it's probably still part of the contract. I mean, that.
As far as you know,
yeah.
Well, time frame, did you get that?
We have later on the agenda here, we've got a thing from Burlington. That's as much as I got from Burlington Northern. Right. We have a new estimate from them. Now of $90,066, and I called that lady back yesterday and left a voicemail, and I've sent her another email, and I still no response from her, but, you know.
She did tell him it's going to be more than 30 days.
So.
Well, we've taken 2.5 years now. Why rush it?
Yeah.
No. And Gary gave me the number. I did call that, and the guys never called me back there either, so I'll keep trying to call these people, and we'll see what, but, we'll talk about that later on the agenda, that proposal from the railroad.
Not only has it been 2.5 years, Terry, but it's also been $45,000 up to $90,000 also.
Yeah.
No, it was exactly. 80. It was $84,000.
No, not the first one.
Oh, the very first one. Yeah, the last, the one in 2014 that we got, that we, there's no signatures on it or whatever, that was $84,000.
Yeah.
Well, even this one here, you look at, we'll talk about it later, you look at some of the things on there. I didn't know they had to rent a crane. I thought they always had their own cranes.
Yeah.
I don't know if we get to argue, though.
That's right. I don't think so.
You can argue.
Well, that'll do you any good or not, is the question.
Don't anticipate winning.
And it'll just take that much longer to get the agreement signed.
Yeah. Go ahead, John.
As far as the time frame left on the road, there was 23 working days left on phase one and 19 days left on phase two. That was of 8/22, and that's going to be a close time frame as to when it's going to be completed. We had discussion on the 54th Road north of Pickerel, individual wanting to close it for a short period of time. Rockon is now hauling the last Ball Township gravel allotment, and they're on the number 20 of the Spring Township allotment, so they're close to being totally caught up. The new Mack truck was arrived on August 19th, and Galen had more pictures from the overlaying project. We have until today to notify constructors. There's 10 more on Philly Adams and 15 more on the Wymore Liberty blacktop, none showing up on the PWF road. We had discussion on the bridge signage on the Blue Springs River Bridge. And we had discussion on the two bridges that the state inspection had issues with, the Blacktop south of Claytonia and the Mud Creek south of Holmesville.
And while we're here, we'll talk about that constructors thing a little bit. I guess John and Eric talked yesterday and then called me, and I think Eric was going to maybe call Galen. I guess some questions arose. You made a comment that when they did the overlay, some of that's coming out awful dry.
That's the way when I was out there watching, they patched in some patch from Philly Adams.
Come to the mic. There, you can sit there if you want to, even over there. Yeah.
When I was out about a month ago when they were come back and done some patching on Philly Adams, it just seemed like me when I was watching the milling machine that there was it just seemed like the material was awful dry, you know, while I was watching the milling on that. And it seems that for that only being basically a year old, most time when you go out and mill asphalt, you'll have some black to it, you know, and not so much dust, but it just seemed like there was a lot of that on that out there. So.
Go ahead.
Whether that has something to do with it or not, I don't know. If I'd have been thinking, I wasn't thinking, I would have pulled a couple samples of those millings and sent them up and had them tested, but I didn't think about that. So when they come back to do some more patching, like they said, I just sent a bunch more up to constructors and to Roger and to Matt Manning also, pictures of that. So far, as of to date, there has not been any more patching done on Wymore Liberty. They came back one time and done the Adams to Philly and patched all those holes, original holes. But that's all they've done so far.
John had asked, do we need to have anything in writing saying that we're questioning the material at all?
I would certainly pass it on. I think it did come just as well from you. You know, there's a little rhubarb, you know, between the other folks, but if we have an issue on that, I can put them on notice immediately that you got some concerns. I mean, you're our expert out there, and if there's an issue, let's look at it now before we get down the road where they say we did all the patching and we got a question about the material they used.
We visited this morning too, and they said, I guess we all assume Minnelli has test results because they were taking samples from the plant as it was being batched, so they should have an idea what was there. It should be an open and shut. Here's the material. It was approved. Done. I mean, that's what we would all assume.
And I will talk with Matt Manning about the samples and get some results back from him on those. Also, when during the patching, especially in Wymore Liberty, when we had issues down there, they did come down and pull some core samples out of that also. So we should have some core samples on that Wymore Liberty also. So, and I'll talk with Matt Manning. And
I almost think that notice maybe needs to be done today because, you know, even if they patch all these spots, there's still a difference in issue between there seems to be a difference between the east and the west part of the Wymore Liberty Blacktop as far as where all these are breaking up, which were done at slightly different times. There's a difference in how the PWF is holding up compared to the Philly Adams Road, and why is that? And, you know, just patching them is not going to fix that road. We need to put them on notice that something else is wrong there. I mean, that's a significant stretch of road.
You said they did do some core testing on that where John's talking, or not?
Well, I know they pulled a lot of extra ones out, and that was from the grain bins going east. I'll have to talk to them, you know, when we were having patching issues on that stretch. They pulled some cores out of that, and I'll have to ask and talk with Bob again. I don't know if we pulled any special cores from, say, the top of Kenny Hill going on into Liberty, you know, for on that. I got to check on that.
Their patches are showing up far more on the eastern part of that road than the western part.
Yeah, the second half.
Yep.
I call it the second half that they done, yes. But then also on that first half, we had done a lot more patching on that prior because a lot of that with the trucks running over, because that first half was done and then they come back in, say, like 2 weeks and actually done the second half.
Right.
So a lot of that truck traffic that was going over that first half had created additional patching requirements, and that was done afterwards too. So there's a lot more patching done on that first half than so far that had been done on, well, nothing's been done on that second half.
Right. But even with those original patches done, there's still far more in the east. And
well, there's a lot of I call them a lot of long cracking going on, you know, in separation or tearing in the asphalt, you know, in the second half. Yes.
Right.
But back to the point of, and I don't know who said it, John, you said, though, that you think you need to let them know today. I guess, do we need Galen to send them an email that we have questions about it, or what should we do? I guess that's my.
Well, I think as quick as possible, but this is the last day.
Yeah.
On notifications. Mm-hmm. And I know you kept them up to speed as far as where the problems are. And this really isn't something dealing with the road per se, it's more the material, but I'd go ahead and I know you got to jump on it, but I just raise the issue that it's something you've observed, and in my mind it'd be send your guy down. We can go out and take a look at what my concern is. Maybe we can resolve it right there. I mean,
because there was a number of additional spots that have shown up, and the time frame that Bob looked at those is only like 4 weeks apart, right?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Or less than that. Yeah, and we have 15 more on Wymore Liberty and 10 more on Philly Adams.
Mm-hmm. Some fairly substantial ones, too.
And they are. And even if all those are fixed, they're still going to show up. And it's an issue of the entire road, is my thought, or those stretches of the road.
Well, but my point being, I mean, does it work for you, Galen, to put together some type of email and send it off to them concerning that, or and CC Roger, or what? Or I guess how do we want to handle it? That's my question.
I think just like you've been doing the pictures, in my mind that's working, because I mean I got them for my records, so I know it's gone out. Yeah, the Manelli Group. Somebody gets. I think it's May. Matt, isn't it?
Matt Manning, yeah, with CC.
And then whomever we've got there, I can't recall if it's Butler or who it was.
Yeah, that's who I've been saying.
I think there's like two or three of them up there. So that the whole thing, nobody's going to be able to say they didn't get it. And that's the idea, too, is to put them on notice so somebody can get down here and we can do some planning before the weather changes, too. Because, it's not the weather, because they have till. There's a deadline in that for getting that fixed with certain notification of problems.
Yeah, well, the August 31st was the deadline for them to come back, but they didn't have a time set to when they'd come back to patch that. Right. The first go-around, I had till August 1st to have them the patching that needed done, so I had sent photos in on Adams Philly and some on Wymore Liberty at that time. Okay. Well, they come back and they did the stretch of Adams Philly, but they never had to come back to do the segment that I had in from that's supposed to have been done by the 1st of August since they're notified. And then we had till the 31st to have it in any more areas that need patching, and that was the deadline. So I had sent those all out yesterday afternoon to Ted and like I said, CC'd Roger and Matt Manning on.
Okay.
So because we went and checked all the roads again up to that point and took the pictures and got that sent off, so we beat the deadline.
I'll forward that up to their council too, Shannon. So he's aware of it too.
Okay. What's your opinion, Galen? Doesn't it seem like a lot of damage to show up in just 4 weeks?
Well, it just seems like every time you go look, and if you go to really looking, it seems like you can find another one. You know, whether it's a crack or I call it a separation, start and tear separation, whatever. And I really don't have an answer for it.
Well, we don't have Jergens on the road hauling grain yet. That's what scares me is when the stuff starts moving on these roads. Are you anticipating it getting really, really bad, or do you think most stuff has shown it?
Well, the one that I guess really concerns me is the Wymore Liberty. Now, Adams to Philly Road, that gets a lot of semi-traffic on it daily. I mean, it gets pounded. So there you can kind of see maybe one coming every once in a while. But as far as I know, there's not that much heavy traffic on that Wymoor to Liberty stretch. Constant heavy traffic.
And certainly the east part of that road, east of the Rockford corner, is getting a lot less traffic on it than the west part going into Wymoor.
Oh, yeah, because you have the Barnston and everything right. Going through there. So.
And even the grain that's been hauled from Blue Springs Co-op around there.
But you'll be able to put together an email and send that today then, just basically expressing some of our concerns.
Concerns about
it. Just putting them on notice that, we're looking into it and that if they want to, be glad to have somebody come down and visit with them or whatever. So
I think it's just something we got to get done today and make sure it meets every
I agree, because today's the end of what we had time to turn in something for warranty work. So I think if we get something out and just put them basically, like you said, on notice, then I think that'd be a good idea.
Absolutely.
This does go beyond the patching that's in place coming up.
Well, and then there's time to, like you said, you're going to visit with Matt and them and see what they have as far as core samples and all of that, and to check out the material and the quality of the material and stuff. So, I don't know. I don't know enough about roads, but it sure seems like a little bit high. When you see them constructors do like a state highway, they're not coming back and patching, and seems like we have a fair amount more than what you would expect. Mm-hmm. So I think that's good. So, okay. That was on road and bridge yet, right?
Right.
Yeah.
All right. One question. We had talked about the county road, they wanted to close that down for about 3.5 hours or so. And that had to do, I had a request from a lady whose daughter is getting married. And there's a pond on that stretch of county road. It sits in the first mile right off the Pickerlease Blacktop. And they're wanting permission to close that road down. They want to have their wedding ceremony right there at the pond. And actually, the dam of the pond is the road that you drive over. And she's wanting to have permission to actually close that road down from, I believe it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon to approximately 6:30 in the evening on that. And we had kind of a discussion on that at the road and bridge and never really got an answer whether we were going to allow it or not. Now, I did figure up a cost because we'd have to make two separate trips out there. Number one, we'd have to haul the barricades out at, 3:30, set them up and close the road down. And then also we'd have to put a warning sign clear up on 41 so truck traffic don't come down into that closure. But so there, and it's a minimum of 2 hours when the guys have to go out on a call like that. So they'd go out at, 3:30, 4 o'clock and shut that mile down. And then they'd have to come back out supposedly at 6:30 when they said they'd be all done there and gone and remove all them barricades. So there'd be another 2 hour. So you'd have you'd have at least 4 hours minimum of overtime for two guys. Okay, then in there also, you'd have to allow them some time and they'd be driving back and forth on their personal time, to get to the shop. So I figured an hour there, it'd be 15 minutes, to and back from there to take out of their part of the day. And then if you figure in an extra hour for actually loading and unloading barricades on the truck, because that has to be done also, So I come up, it'd just be just shortly under $400 cost to the county to do that for that occasion.
Does it have anything figured for vehicle time and stuff like that?
No, I figured mileage in there, yeah. There's like roughly just under 80 miles for total driving back and forth on the two separate trips.
So your estimate's $400, basically.
Yeah, just right at $400.
Well, and part of our conversation, if I remember right, at a committee meeting was give her a call back and tell her that, and unless somebody doesn't want to close the road, to close that road, our crew would need to do that or whatever. The county's crew for liability would need to do that.
Yes.
And that would be the cost ahead of time, so they could make the decision if they wanted to pay that or not. Because if they didn't want to pay that, then we're not going to close the road. But I guess other people have thoughts or not, or don't close it, I guess.
Sheriff, do you have any comment on that, or is that any concern of yours?
He's got to enforce it.
Well, along with Gail getting the sign set up, I guess, for the liability side of things, we're covering the bases there. I mean, it's just
Hey, Gus.
Start once.
Yep. Well, and I guess that's something we really need to have ask Roger, because Roger wasn't here either. You know, is there? Yeah.
It's all about liability for me when you do something like that, and then if you open the gates, then you start the floods. Where do you stop it next time? Then, so you know, I don't know. We've never had the request before, have we, to close the road for a wedding that I know of?
Not that I've ever been involved in, though.
So,
I mean, you got a precedent setting. Most of the time, we deal with these things like within communities, like Beatrice for the 4th of July. You can ask to shut off your block, and I don't know if there's a cost to that. You have to go pick up the barricades. And again, my question, you know, what if somebody goes around the barricade? He's going to get a call.
Very true.
And I'm just throwing out those things that you hope don't happen, but no matter how much planning you do, is going to be. I don't know. You ever had a call or a request like that?
Never have. I hate to rain anybody's parade, but I mean, yeah. Then if you're going to have issues with that, then you might as well just have law enforcement officers stationed up there during that time so they can't go through.
Well, I thought they were going to close the road until like maybe the next morning so they could get home.
Yeah, so.
I mean, you'd like to accommodate them, but you are setting a precedent.
We're setting a precedent.
There can be a lot of them.
It's fine with me either way. I just think, you know, if it's 400, we do it for, you know, put a little bit more money in there because there's always going to be inefficiencies there. I'd rather not have any expense to the county for somebody doing something, but if they want to, my opinion, I guess if they want to block the road off and have a get-together there, it's fine with me. We were both at an event yesterday, and I know there's parking on both sides of the road, and it does make it narrow. That was one thing with this, with the dam being the road. If there's cars on both sides, that's going to be fairly tight through there. So, and I don't know if they want to park on the sides of the road of a dam anyway, but...
Well, and they always have the option, I guess, to do a some kind of rider for insurance on their own personally to help cover the county if something happens. But I don't know.
I assume the reason they want to close the road is so they don't have traffic going up and down disturbing the ceremony.
During the ceremony, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, traffic, and she said she didn't want a bunch of dust going all over everybody, too, you know, when they flew by, you know, down the road.
And it goes with outside weddings, folks. What if it rains? Are we supposed to stop that, too?
When do they want to do this?
September 10th, I believe.
When was that, Galen?
September 10th, I believe. I got it wrote on my notes on there.
We won't have a vote on it. We kind of need to decide today. Yeah, we won't have a vote on it because it's not an agenda item, but we kind of need to decide today. What our discussion was Monday was, Galen, if he could come up with a cost, so that the county itself didn't have out-of-pocket costs for this, you know, which.
Yeah. And that was just a close estimate. I mean, for some reason, if they wouldn't be out of there till 7 o'clock, you know, that would extend the time on.
Had to sit there, yeah.
If just you guys something I had to come there. Up a ballpark figure.
So, is it a highly trafficked road?
It's a county gravel road, and it does have quite a bit of traffic on it at times, yes.
Have we talked to Norma?
No, nobody's talked to Norma about it.
I would strongly suggest that with our carrier because they may have some issues that we haven't thought about on a fairly quick notice. Gus was talking about a rider. I honestly can't tell you if we're going to close a road. I mean, we do it when they're like, you know, when we have a flood situation or the bridge is out or something like that. You guys get out there right away and barricade it and put the public on notice so somebody didn't get hurt. And, I mean, those are just a few things, but I think it'd be a good idea to touch base with them. And again, we just have to establish how we're going to do it so the next time it happens,
yes,
if it does, and it may not be a wedding, it may be some other kind of arrangement, so it's consistent.
Well, I guess my take on it is if we don't close the road, they'll probably have the wedding there anyway, and they'll park there. So then what is our liability then, I guess?
On the road?
Yeah. Well, nothing more than a normal situation, I guess, then.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, Gus, I know he's been called out to, you know, a local church where they park in the on the road. I mean, I was out there, and yeah, they do.
Yeah.
I mean, they're clear up to the double yellow line with their, but I don't anticipate Gus going to go out there and give tickets, but.
That's the other thing, is they could just block the road off on their own, which at least if the county.
No, they can't block the road off on their own. I mean, they can park along the
that'll
road.
That'll get them a ticket in a quick hurry.
Yeah, they can't block the road off. I mean, they can't stop traffic.
Yeah, that would never happen.
Yeah.
But at least this way.
Not until you put it on the radio.
Yeah, that would never happen. But this way, if the county would block it, at least it would be, you know, type threes, road closed ahead. There'd be some upfront, you know, signage in front so that as people approach it, they know the road's closed instead of.
Well, and plus, like you said, put notice so if somebody is planning on moving stacks or, you know, something down that road, they won't do it that day, knowing that the road's going to be.
Instead of popping the hill and all of a sudden there's a bunch of cars everywhere. But.
Gary?
Something I've seen other places is they put up event signs and maybe a temporary speed limit of 25 or something. Would that be an option as opposed to closing the road? You know, if dust is the big issue, then I want this to be a community. I want to work with everybody as much as we can, and I like the idea of closing it. I just don't know that I like the precedent of doing that because, my daughter decides she wants to get married and she wants to do it on the county blacktop down there in between Odell. There's a very scenic, nice place there in between Odell and Beatrice on the Odell blacktop. Yeah. So I want to have my wedding out there on the Odell blacktop, and I want to close the blacktop. I mean, where does it stop? If you do this, where does it stop? I realize that might not be realistic, but.
You'd be the one out there rattling your pipes, so if you're going 25 miles an hour, if preacher's preaching.
Yeah. Galen, what's your recommendation?
Yeah, what's your recommendation? There you go.
Well, you know, it's like it's been said, you do set a precedent if you do something like this. And it may not happen for a long time. Could happen, you know, down the road. But the situation there and being a county gravel road, I guess I'd just as soon not do it myself because of the liability purpose for the county. Even if we do go out and put up the barricades, if somebody throws them down, because we'll put a blockage off at the end of the mile. We'll have a sign there, but right, say, on each side of that dam, we'll actually have the road barricaded with two barricades. And I'm sure they'll be moving them to the side to drive up close to the dam to park.
Yep.
So, and if somebody else comes through there and, say, hits a car or something, that's my concern, you know, if they do park on the dam. Because there's just not that much room. From what I've seen, they had a small area, and maybe they're going to do some more mowing out there down on the southeast side of the dam where they had mowed some grassland down. Whether that's where they're going to all gather to have it, because there's crops surrounding the dam itself, you know, on both sides. I don't know what they're going to all do there.
What about, like what Gary said, putting up signs at temporary 20 miles an hour?
To me, you're really increasing your liability on that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By doing that. That's my opinion. I'd rather see a road closed down completely than lower speed limit, you know, for.
So then you're going to have law enforcement out there to enforce it. So our costs go up.
Yeah.
I think I want to be as friendly, I'm like Gary, as I can to people like that, but our liability in this situation says no.
Yeah.
Says no.
I tend to agree with that, too. I would like to accommodate them. They'll probably still have the wedding anyway, just we won't be closing traffic. Or at least there's a good possibility they will, because if they're having the wedding on September 10th, they probably set out invitations already.
Yep.
You know? That's not something you do the last minute and stuff. So it, I think too, because of our setting a precedent and liability.
One, and I guess the one concern that I would have, no matter what we do, is that whether you close the road and they're parking on the road, or or we don't close the road and they're parking there, like Eric said, it, you know, it might narrow that road down quite a bit. And I think everybody that's going to be going to this wedding needs to understand that that road has got to stay open because emergency vehicles have got to get through there. If somebody's sick, you know, in that neighborhood. You know, we've had a discussion on a certain livestock facility where, you know, just some communication with the neighbors would probably go a lot longer than doing something like this. I guess my recommendation would be to these people to go out and talk to their neighbors within a 10-mile stretch and say, hey, we're going to be having this wedding. You know, if you're not invited, we would sure appreciate that maybe you don't
invite
use the road.
That's always a problem.
Yeah.
If you're going to raise Cain, invite the neighbors.
Right, right. So, I realize you get some traffic that travels them roads from farther away than that, but, I mean, really, just a little bit of communication with your neighbors, I think, would go a long ways in a situation like this.
Eric?
I guess it's all right with me to close the road if they pay for it. And there's going to be cars on both sides of the road. I don't know that it wouldn't be better off anyway to give them the option to close it. And I mean, if I was doing this, realistically, I'd park something on both ends and nobody'd be driving down it anyway. They've at least come to us and asked us.
And I wouldn't have an issue with Gary's suggestion of putting local celebration signs in place because, I mean, we know this is going on. Whether we do it or not, I think we've got liability. If we do local celebration, at least there's that much lower speed limit in place.
All they need to do is have some neighbors or something or some people they know park on each end, and basically
that's what I would have done.
You know, I mean, why not do that?
And the only thing is there's nothing saying road closed ahead. There's
right,
nothing because
you can't stop them from going through, but you know, we have a wedding going on there and this is why we don't want you to go through there. If you could go around or something, you know. So I mean, that there's other ways they can handle this.
So just tell them to go ahead and park on the ends and close it down themselves.
No.
Yeah, no.
That's an easy no.
Well, I know that's a no, but I mean that's
no. That's an emphatic no.
That's kind of what we're telling them.
No, we're not telling them at all that.
Okay.
You never
tell
citizens to break the law. You know,
we're not.
Don't even call you after hours tonight to get your ideas.
What's? I'm not going to answer the phone, but
no. And again, you know, the guy sitting in the back is the one that has to deal with the issues. And the last thing we want to create is a self-help situation where a lot of times, and I'm not saying there is or isn't, there is beverages out there that reduce inhibitions and make stupid people do stupid things.
Make smart people do stupid things.
Well, I'll leave it. But, and you don't want that because Gus and his people have to go out there and make a happy event turn ugly. And so, you're right. Talk to your neighbors and stuff. If you get one person, you know, they go by fairly quick. Little dust. It's outside. What do they think they're going to get? They may even get a bee sting.
Okay.
The other thing is it does get complicated. I mean, you know, checking with NERMA is a good idea, but you're also on a fairly short time frame and been planned for a long time.
I think Gus and tell them due to liability and other issues that we decided not to close the road. I know that. Tell them how long a discussion we had here, 20 minutes on it, and stuff. So it's not an easy issue, but I think we'll leave it at that because we do have a time event at 9:30 here. So
if you want me to, I'll send an email to Bill Hinton. He's the one that kind of does the risk assessment and just say. Which, as our carrier, what do you think?
I think that'd be good to know.
Well,
yeah.
And again, if they're really hesitant about it, I don't think they're going to. Yeah. They just like stay away.
Okay. We do have a timed event at 9:30, and it's 9:35 on the clock. I'll entertain a motion to close and accept, reject, or award rock and gravel bids. I guess it's
moved to close.
Well, it's more closed right now, yeah. Who made the motion?
Close and accept. I move to close and accept the rock and gravel bids.
Second.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Tiemann. Vote. Tiemann needs to change things. 6-0 in favors. And that's getting to be a bad thing, isn't it, there? Yeah.
We need Jonesy to come take care of you.
You got them both on. How'd you do that?
Which one are you doing?
It's green.
It's green. 6-0 in favor. We'll go that way.
Hair it's off now.
Yeah. Now you got it right.
You want to let him block right. off County Roads?
No. How many? Do we have some? Yep.
Yep.
So pass them on down. Yep. We do have another time to win at 9:45.
All right, who we got here? Deep sand and gravel.
Doug already took a break.
Yeah.
Okay. Might have to put your bolt on the inside of your drawer.
Is Matt going to be here for the public hearing on the bed?
They are doing an audit survey up at their place of work up there, a state audit survey of some kind. That's what he sent me an email on, and he had to be up there at 5 this morning. And they did have the survey done one time, and the state sent it back, Matt said, and basically didn't okay hardly any of it, so they're redoing it. And in the past couple of weeks he's been up there quite a bit. So that's why he's not going to be here today for a public hearing even. So.
Makes sense.
Okay, Myron. The first one is from Ace Sand and Gravel. Pit price, $11 per ton. And he has it all broke down per township with rock on hauling. Those prices range from $14.95 all the way to $19.30 per ton delivered. Various. Depends on the location of the township. Second one I have is from Beatrice Concrete, doing business as Consolidated Sand and Gravel. Pit price $10.65 per ton. Going along with that is Beatrice Concrete again. They give the location, but I'm sure this is probably the, this is screen gravel, probably one of Alexander Pitt, $10.40 per ton. Ferris delivered cost in here. I don't see who they've got organized to deliver it, but it must be them, I'd say, because they don't list any other name on here. So those prices on the first one, bank gravel or worse gravel bid, it varies from $21.34 down to $17.08. The other one, $20.52 down to $15.69.
That was two separate bids?
One is one's wash gravel bid and the other one's screen bank gravel bid.
Okay.
So I'm sure it's the
wash
is from the Alex pit and the other one's from the Powell pit. Eric?
Yep. Okay. I didn't catch that part.
Rock bid, Beatrice Concrete again. I'll just pick out a combo on all these rock bids and just list that one. We'll just call it the 3/4 crushed rock bid is $14.50 per ton. $14.50 per ton loaded by supplier onto county trucks at following pit location.
Sites, right?
Yeah, it doesn't say. It's just got a southeast quarter of Section 18, 3N, Township 7E range. Okay. So I'm sure that's what it is, yes. It doesn't say it, but that gives the location there.
All right.
This one is from Gaina Trucking and Excavating Incorporated. Pit price $11.80 per ton, loaded onto county trucks at the following pit location. 330 County Road B, Ashland, Nebraska. They've got a few delivery costs. They range anywhere delivered. Looks like to the northern townships. Range anywhere from 2069 to 2305. This also lists we will utilize the following subcontractors and furnish the delivery of gravel, Beatrice Lawn Care, and RL Teaming. It's basically about the 8 northern townships, the way it looks. This is a bid submitted by Niemeyer Trucking, LLC. John Niemeyer. Gravel bid for Grant, Claytonia, townships. Delivered bid price $15.66 per ton to both those locations. The pit origin is at a Central Sand and Gravel out of Bellwood, Nebraska. And another Markson Sand and Gravel out of Schuyler. Delivery time, fall of 16, spring of 17. And we've already discussed the other option that John's provided for us. And he's got pictures in here of the material as it's been spread on the road. Basically, anything else you want to mention on that, John?
John Niemeyer, Cortland, Nebraska. Submitted a bid here. I've submitted one last year. I believe I was a little bidder last year, but there was some concerns regarding the ability to spread that consistent with what a gravel truck would spread it. So we're using a belt trailer, and I think we've got that resolved. We've got a box scraper that we just hook up to behind the trailer now, and spreads it out just real nice. So
is this the spread material?
That's the spread pattern right there. Yeah,
it looks good spread there. So
it's.
I can take a look at these.
I've got a video posted too on my Google Docs account too. So if anyone would like to take a look at the whole process, how it works. So.
A little more involved.
Any questions?
But you as you're doing the belt trailer, you hook that behind that trailer.
Yeah, it's got a 2-inch. It's got a 2-inch receiver hitch on it, and we just build a little a hitch to hang down and hook up our 8-foot box scraper to it, and it works fine. So a little bit different, but a little unique. But we're up there in our part of the world, and Claytonia and Grant Townships, where I farm and where we live, so it's really not a big issue for us. So,
wow, you keep coming up with too many ideas, and Jurgens are going to hire you. So, yeah.
this last one. This is from RL Team at Construction Incorporated. This is screen bank gravel from Powell Pit. This is delivered cost, northern townships, southern townships. Prices range all the way from $15.45 up to $19.77 per ton delivered. Last one. Submitted is from the horse gravel from the Alex Pit, submitted by RL Team and Construction Incorporated. These prices range, and I could be off. I'm just picking them out real quickly here. Anywhere from $17.50 per ton up to $21.10 per ton. Yeah, it's just concrete Alex Pit.
So, this is Teeman. RL Teeman.
Right. I mean, that's where the location, the material's coming from. Yeah, right. Guys, this is a team bid, yes. Two of them. Is that it, John?
There's two more.
Oh, wow.
This would be a trucking only bid. This is for rock. There's three separate ones. There's one hauling from Sites, one hauling from Weeping Water, and one hauling from Du Bois. These are just delivery costs from the locations per township again. I'll start out with Sites. Range anywhere from $3.40 to $6.50 per ton delivery cost, varying township to township. Rock on from Weeping Water, delivery cost anywhere from $8.70 per ton up to $13.80 per ton. That's just delivery cost only from Weeping Water.
And whose bid is that?
Rock On Incorporated. Both of these have been. This third one is also Rock On, delivery cost only for rock from Du Bois. Prices range, they vary again, $6.80 up to $11.70 per ton, delivery cost from that location. Last one.
That's it.
Rock On again. These are probably Rock On trucking only from Powell Pit. This is trucking again. Townships, range from $4.73 to $9.08 per ton delivery. And the next one, Rock On trucking only from Alex Pitt. Prices will range from $6 per ton up to $10.26 per ton, depending on the location. Is that it, John?
That's it.
That's it. I know I went through there. There's a lot of bids here, a lot of information. I went through it probably fairly quick. I didn't want to waste everybody's time, but as we've done in the past, we'll refer all these to Galen. He'll put them on a spreadsheet and have the prices where they lie, and then we'll today we'll accept all bids.
So you're making a motion to accept all bids?
Oh, okay. I make a motion
to accept all bids and refer them to Galen.
Yep.
And then normally at our next meeting, he'll have a spreadsheet put together, or if you want to see him, compare him earlier, just get a hold of Galen and visit with him.
Because this...
That's a lot.
That's a lot. We've had a lot more this year than we've had that I can remember. But this is a big part of the county's budget also.
Yes, it is.
So
I'd like to thank everyone for bidding, too.
Yeah, really, really like to thank everybody for bidding. That's pretty quite a good deal. That's more than what we normally have. I'll just say that. That's a really good deal. But Terry made a motion to accept those and refer them to Galen. So and Lytle seconded that. And then Galen will put that spreadsheet together and then have who is the low bidder next time at our next meeting and stuff. So, but if, like I said, if you want to see quicker than that, get a hold of Galen and visit with them and see what all that is and stuff. So, any more discussion? Vote. Oh, yeah, 5 in favor with Teeman abstaining. Never mind. You should be, yes. I had to think for a minute because you were voting no or whatever. So.
My knobs started in the circle now.
Didn't that, no, we really do thank everybody for submitting bids that did. That's a lot of them and stuff. We really thank them for that so that, like Terry said, though, that's a big part of our county's budget. That's I know it's over $1 million, around $1.2 or $1.3 million that we normally spend on the budget. So that's we're glad that a lot of people are bidding and stuff. So we do have a timed event on the agenda. It's 9:52 on the clock, but we had a 9:45 timed public event for a public hearing for the purpose of hearing support, opposition, criticism, suggestions or observations of taxpayers relating to the following proposed fiscal year 16-17 county budget. So I entertain a motion to open the public hearing at 9:52 on the clock.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Teeman, seconded by Juergens. Vote. That darn thing of yours just ain't working at all, is it?
And Juergens seconded.
Teeman and then Juergens, yep.
Maybe we should take a recess after we get done with this vote.
Didn't they have a pair of pliers?
Yeah, do you have a pliers?
Now you got the knob off you?
I do have the pliers. So you. Across the hall.
The light don't show, but you do vote in favor of the public hearing. 6-0 in favor to enter our public hearing. We'll have a recess after the public hearing if you want to recess. So, we have a public hearing. Any comments or anything from the public? They're just Patty and Lori and everybody's here just to...
I thought we'd have a room full today.
Well, I did too. I expected a few people to comment on our budget.
Why? It never has been before.
I know, but you're hearing more things on the news, and then there's a guy ad in that one TV station has an ad running. He's paying for it, you know, or whatever. So and stuff. So I guess as part of this, do we discuss this during the public hearing, or do we come out of the public hearing and then we discuss our budget?
You can state whatever your percentages and things are now.
That's now, during the public hearing.
Everybody wants to talk. Okay. And then, yeah.
You want to go over a little bit of that?
Well, the initial proposal was
2.88.
Yeah, I was trying to think how high we were before. So we initially did some cutbacks. We got down to 2.88. Matt wanted to try to get under 3%. So we made some cuts and we were under. So the percentage of increase is 2.88%. There was some discussion at the recent committee meeting prior to this, I guess, of moving some dollars around yet in a couple of funds, and that has been done. So the percent still stays at 2.88%, but the changes I think Eric wanted and Gary maybe, those were changed. And so basically that was the... bulk of the comments, I think, that we received through the questions. So, if somebody else has questions on their budget or how, I sent out copies to every office. Make sure I put the figures in right. Sometimes after you look at figures for so long, you're not sure if you've got them correct. But I didn't hear any feedback that anything wasn't quite right. So, thank you.
Thanks, Kim.
Unless somebody else has some comments. that's kind of where we're at.
Not really. I think, you know, 2.88 is probably reasonable. I mean, it's far less than our increases in rock and gravel have been the last 2 6-month bids that we've taken. So even though it is up 2.88, we've made cuts other places to accommodate that.
I know we've talked a little bit before. This does not include any, I'll call it capital or equipment expenditures in the road and bridge.
Yep.
Originally, there was over 500,000, I believe.
560,000
in the proposed part of that budget. And to make this budget work, I guess, that was something Matt's visited with Terry and Galen and everybody. And this year only, there won't be any equipment purchases down at the highway department, which I think we all know that can't continue.
Right.
But that sometimes in a budget process, you have to make cuts where you can or do some cuts to make the budget work. Next year, I'm sure we will have some proposed budget purchases.
A big part of that is, too, this year we have Hickory going on, and that's a big expense. We've managed to fund that so far out of existing funds we had left, or had saved for, or however you want to put it. But that's a big expense. That's basically going to be paid with funds on hand.
Well, funds that this board and other previous boards have worked over the years to, I'll call it, save some money to do that project at some point in the future. And, as far as an economic benefit for the county, that's one of the best things this board can do, because that road will pay a lot of dividends, what you can't see dollars out of your pocket or whatever. But, I mean, that would be a tremendous addition to this county. And something that's been wanting to do for a long time. But yeah, you're right. Part of the discussion was why maybe not purchase capital equipment down there was because of the fact that Hickory Road in that project and the amount of spending on that project this year.
Hickory Road would be paid for with the road and bridge sinking dollars and dollars transferred from inheritance.
Dollars transferred from inheritance. So. You know, that I think at some of our other meetings they talked about we're still planning on doing some armor coating. Mm-hmm. And part of that will be taken, still included, about half of that will be included in the highway department budget. And about half of that, I believe, we moved out of inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
So that when that's done, then if I remember Galen right, pretty much every hard service road in the county in the last approximately 5 years will either be overlaid or armor coated. Yeah. Which is, I think, long term for this county is going to pay dividends. We're blessed to have 150 or 60 miles of hard surface roads. We're really blessed. I think every time it rains, we see that. But then there's upkeep with that. And I know some people, especially John's really been pushing for that, and Galen's really been working hard on that too. And I think that's a thing that this next year, I think that's quite an accomplishment too, to get that done and to get the armor coated so that we do keep those roads in good repair. That's not cheap. That's a cost to that all the time. So, you know, in next year's budget, we won't have any armor coating and stuff. So, that's something that a lot of people work real hard to get done too. So we worked at keeping those roads good. The other thing I'll say is we spent more this last year on our township gravel than what we have in other years. And part of what has been a lot of hard work and a lot of comments, but part of what we've done is we've caught up where we've been basically behind a little bit now. Do we need more out there? Yeah, we're constantly reminded of the calls we get. We can always use more gravel out there. But part of what we really tried to do the last year or two is to catch back up to where we'd been behind, where we hadn't given them their allocation, what we'd always given. So,
and this is the first time that I can remember since I've been on that we're this close to being caught up.
Yes.
You know, and if we have a decent fall,
you know, and that's a lot of hard work on Galen and the crew down there and everybody else involved in that. So we appreciate that very much. One other comment I'll just make is I know Gus's budget there. We had a discussion last time at a committee meeting or board meeting too that I think it was a 11% increase originally proposed or whatever, and that one we agreed on a 5% increase. So, but that also includes some cars and some other things. So that, unfortunately for this county and other counties, as you read in the paper, continues to be an increased cost for the jail system. States having issues, where that all ends up with is an unknown too, and those costs haven't been going down, unfortunately. So,
most of the agencies were held at the same dollar amount that we normally fund. Wow. Were held at the same dollar amount as what their amount was for last year. There was a couple exceptions for ones that were interlocals, but other than that, those remained the same.
And the last comment I'll make on it, I think we're all aware of the Beatrice 6 and that judgment out there. This budget was developed this year with the full understanding that that judgment is being appealed. And because of that, we're basically on hold with that judgment amount. So this budget is this year's budget. Going forward, we do not know or we do not have a good handle on how that outcome will end up. So in future years, that could have a profound effect on our budgets. Any other comments? Or
the two biggest increases were, of course, the potential increases for road and bridge and sheriff's department. Like you said, both of those were brought up. Did the road and bridge end up almost flat again this year?
The road and bridge sinking?
No, I'm sorry. Funding. Road department, highway department.
Road operations. It's an increase.
Still, do you know what the increase was in that, the percentage increase?
No, I don't.
I didn't have that one. I had the sheriff's, like I say, it was 14.6% to start with. We backed down to 5. Hopefully we can keep all departments on almost an even keel of growth.
Road bridge, 34.
The highway department, that's going to be a tough one because we do have some big items coming up that are actually going to be nearing lifespan. So moving forward, we will have to look at what pieces of equipment actually need replaced, what pieces of equipment are utilized, and depending on this outcome of the Beatrice 6, we may not be replacing vital pieces of equipment or, you know, staffing. Everything will be up for discussion to see what we'll have to do. But until that happens, nobody knows.
Looks like it's a 5.74% increase.
Actually, the actual number last year was 4.855, approximately rounding it off. And this proposed this year is 5.134.
So if you'll notice, the Sheriff's Department increased less than the Highway Department.
I noticed that. Thank you.
I didn't know that till just now. Nice work, Sheriff.
Any more comments? Thoughts, I guess, on the budget. We will be having it on the agenda on our next meeting to approve our fiscal 16-17 budget. If not, well, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing at 10:05.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Juergens. O'Hill. Can hear. Vote 6-0 in favor, and we will be taking a 5-minute break.
Do you repair your switch?
As long as I don't have to. Well.
Dangerous, you guys.
I believe we're all back. Okay. We'll readjourn the meeting here at 10:15 on the clock. I do have one thing here I forgot to include during the, I don't know, insurance part, or you can call it the after six part or whatever you want to of our meeting. Did receive an email, this doesn't have the date on it, it was earlier last week from Joel Nelson, who is one of the attorneys working on the insurance part of our coverage issue there. And they've sent away to some of the companies asking for some of their records, waiting on those. But the last sentence of it was just an early heads up. Given the complexity of the factual and legal issues, there is a pretty good chance our hours invested in this project will exceed the estimate Myron presented to the board. In other words, it probably will take a little bit longer. And like he said there, given the complexity of the factual and legal issues, that what they're finding out, I guess when Don and I went up there and talked to him, maybe we didn't convey good enough what it all was, or I don't know, or whatever, but he's just giving us a heads up that there's a good chance that it's going to be more than 190 hours at $40 an hour.
I think he didn't realize there was that many pages in that box.
Yeah. Well, and then even Don did, they requested some more information from Don, too, and she's brought some more paperwork back up there and stuff. So, but they will, part of what he said here, too, though, and Don and I had a little conversation, and between them and us, we all agreed that they will be basically billing us monthly, and so that we can kind of halfway keep track that way too of some of the expenses going on up there, how much time they're putting in and stuff. So they'll just continue to try to update us. So just wanted everybody to be aware of that. Next on the agenda, receive and
okay. Can we finish Road and Bridge?
Yeah, we're not done. Good.
Yeah. Going back to Hickory Road, John's summary, maybe my ears get turned off or whatever, but one of the most common questions that I'm getting last couple of weeks, probably first, is when is the corn price going to quit going down? And then right behind that is when is Hickory Road going to open? Can we have an assessment as to, Galen's already left, but can we have an assessment as to when we're looking at having the road open and when people can start using it?
I can give what Galen gave. Terry's visit with Galen. Go ahead.
Not recently, okay. No.
Well, we listed those days in there, and that was as of the 22nd of August. And that would put it sometime just shortly after the middle of September, if they had all of those working days. They're on schedule for that. They think they will be a good possibility. Sometime between the middle of September and the 1st of October, they also want to do, he mentioned, they also want to do all the seeding of the shoulders and everything like that. The parts that will not be done, and this, Galen, we did visit about that, we'll have to put up signs and stuff. The railroad track won't, but they will be filling in between the railroad track and the cement. They will be filling in with screenings and everything. It's just going to be a lower speed limit and lower just caution so that people, if you're going 60 miles an hour on the other portion of it, you don't go flying across the railroad track at 60 because it will be a new
55 county road.
No, I've already made the comment that how we're going to pay for Hickory Road is Gus going to be writing out enough tickets out there because everybody's going to be speeding that we're going to get some income. Yeah, no.
That just goes to the school, though. We don't get
I know, it just goes to the school. Because I did, after our last board meeting, I did, drive on it up to the bridge and stuff. And they didn't. Well, the time I drove on it, they didn't have it done by the bridge there yet. But I was, wow, that's a pretty nice road.
You know, if I'd have to guess, Gary, these guys have always been ahead of the ball game. I mean, they've got in, they've got started, they've got done. I would guess 15th or shortly after.
Yeah. I would, too. I would be surprised.
That's just a guess.
Yeah, that's kind of what my guess was, too. But when they get done with their working days and their completed project, paint striping, everything's going to be done where it'll be ready to roll.
David's comment was they will have the shoulders sowed with grass. They will have all of the paint striping. What the part of the road out there now, except for the railroad crossing and except for the entrance, Coke now has come up with that they're going to end up paying to put in there to that old 89th road. All of the rest of it will be done when it gets opened.
So realistically, we can say, by the end of September,
Something would really have to show up, like a lot of weather issues or something, not to be done by the end of September. Yeah. And Galen did make a comment that they were aiming for the middle of September. Galen made that comment that the last he visited with them, they were aiming for the middle of September.
I know a lot of people are asking, so yeah. I just thought it was good that maybe we talk about it here real briefly. And I guess the other thing is I think we need to make sure that we emphasize every time we talk about it that little stretch between the concrete and the two pieces of concrete where the railroad crossing is, that people will need to be careful on there and really mind themselves when they're driving off the concrete onto that.
Yes.
So that they don't lose control there.
They don't lose control. No, Galen said they will be visiting with Minnelli and how to post signs and post a lot of warning stuff out there so that, yeah, that will... I tell you what, when you drive the rest of it, if you're not thinking and you come up to that road, you're going to be surprised because right. The rest of it is that smooth. I'll just say that. It's nice. And the good thing is, knock on wood here, but the good thing is we won't have a bunch of patching in this road next year.
Yeah.
Right, John?
Right, John? Better not.
Better not. No, that's the only time I've been on it. I know some of the others of you have drove it and stuff, but it is it's looking really nice. They have basically all the shouldering work done, I think. Wasn't it east of the bridge? Didn't Galen say that or something like that? Or most of the shouldering work done up to the bridge is done? But they still yet, I don't know if just west or where, or they still have to pour some of the, what they call the turnout lanes and some of that stuff, so they're still working on it. But there again, it's I know people in the Beatrice area here have had 2 or 3 inches here in the last week, so that slows up shouldering work and stuff. So, but by their working days, you know, if it doesn't rain, then they should definitely be done by the end of September, by the working days and stuff. So it depends on Mother Nature and all of that. But they've had some pretty good weather for the road, and I will say this, I've been impressed with their company. So,
Myron? Also, a comment to me, Doug just asked me, this road, we had options when these bids came in. We could have went 8-inch or 9-inch. Hmm. We opted to go the 9-inch. We figured the labor's all the same, you just got to pay for the extra concrete. That's going to make a huge difference, too, as far as maintenance down the road.
Absolutely. But even if these guys don't hit their days right on the money, they've been hitting it hard the whole time.
Yep, they have been. Yep.
I mean, sometimes municipalities get so down on just those days and wanting to penalize them. And like I say, these guys have worked right through. I won't say that so they can stop doing that, but at the same time, they've done a really good job.
Yes, yeah.
By their working days, they will complete the project by their working days. That's a pretty good chance.
Their working days are down the middle of September, aren't they?
If they don't have rain, but if they have a rain date, then that working day, that's not counted as a working date. So then you just back it up more. You know, that's an actual working day.
I think these were bid as calendar days.
I think they were bid as calendar days.
They were.
It's just calendar days. But either way, they've been hitting it.
Yes, they have.
I'm pretty sure they'll have done by then.
Yeah. Calendar days, okay, whatever. But they're coming along really good on their project and stuff. So, receive and place on file a copy of the valuations for the political subdivisions for 2016, and everybody should have that. I think Patty passed that out. That's the big long sheet.
Mm-hmm. No, make sure you have the 16 because I did give you a 15 too because you wanted to compare just here the last one time I came in.
You're talking the receive and place on file copy of the valuations. That's this. This is a stack. Is that the one you just read?
Yes, receive and place on file a copy of the valuations for the political subdivisions.
That's this.
She put it into this, yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Oh, I had one.
Don's right. Everybody did turn theirs. That's a budget request.
That's the budget request. Those are the budget requests.
These are your levy stuff.
Levies, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Right. Any questions or comment on it? And these are, Patty, I guess the final one. That's right. My question. Yeah.
Right.
So this is what everybody has used or is using for their budget for this next year.
They didn't have them by August 1st when they turned in their preliminary budget.
Right.
But they will have them when they turn in their final budget to Don by September 20th. Because we had to send these out August 20th.
This year went out August 20th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, but we need to...
So then, yeah, your preliminary levies will be your fires and your...
Do that by September 20th.
But I entertain a motion to receive and place this on file.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Tiemann. Any more questions on this, or anybody see anything there they'd like to ask Patty about or whatever?
Patty, there's no school districts on this one yet then?
No. This one here there is. If you've got this one that's this.
But that's just the valuations, right?
That's just the valuations.
But I mean, as far as expenses, there's no budgets for the school districts in here.
No,
yet?
You only budget. The next thing will be the resolution, and that won't have the schools on it. So this is only the valuations. This is what I value the county at.
Yes.
Right.
This year.
Right. Right.
That's
I get
what you're
that, but I mean,
right now.
There's some place in there that I've seen that the school districts are all on there. That's coming.
That's coming.
Okay.
What you're looking for is the tax asking, right, Terry?
Yes.
Yeah. That won't be till later.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, the tax asking, they all have, all the government entities have until September 20th to approve your budget. And that's why on the 14th of September, that's when we will have on our agenda to approve our budget. Because that has to all be up to the state by September 20th. Okay. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Next up, entertain a motion to receive preliminary request for levy allocations to county board from townships, rural fire districts, Gage County Historical Society, and Gage County Ag Society.
That's the box.
That's all these.
Yep.
I took them out of the box. That's what I was saying.
So we just need a motion to... approve that we got the request.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Jurgens. Vote. 6-0 in favor. And next is approve or disapprove resolution setting final allocation of levy authority for the following: townships, rural fire districts, Gage County Historical Society, and Gage County Ag Society. Now, that one there, did you...
I don't have a resolution. Do you have a resolution?
I thought you had a paper here.
I gave you one.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
It'll need a number.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I didn't have one here. Okay. So we have resolution number 16-20.
16-20?
Mm-hmm. I sure didn't take yours, did I? Maybe. It might have been on here, and I grabbed it.
Sorry.
Both of these requests, then, Patty, which, what was the annual increase, decrease, what was it?
Okay, basically on these, the Ag Society is the first one, and we went to what they had last year, so I think they requested more. I know they requested more. But if you see the asterisk beside the Ag Society, we had determined at the last board meeting that the request would be held to the same level that it was last year.
Right.
So that one we took back to where it was last year. The historical stayed the same. The rural fires are at 3 and the townships are 7.5. Okay, so as you go through there then on the rural fire districts, all those political subdivisions that you see with asterisks will have to adjust their budget to get down to the 3 cents. So in other words, if you look at Adams, they've requested 82,000. That gives their tax rate a 0.036275. So I figured that they can have 67,815.24 based on a 3 cent tax rate.
Why did they all request more than what they knew they were going to?
For one thing, they don't have my valuations when they ask for the money. So on August 1st, they don't have my new valuations yet. Plus, they ask what supposedly they need, but we do limit it to 3 cents. So that's why, and that MFO, that's one thing we've always been in. I'm not sure that I totally understand that, but maybe you guys, they all have to be at 3.
Brian Dakey right. would have to explain that
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, it gets a little complicated.
I've asked two several times.
And that's what I thought, they all have to be at 3, but Pickerel and O'Dell show slightly below that.
So they'll have to raise theirs a little bit.
Okay.
So what I do now is I send these resolutions out to all these township and rural fire district people.
So we're going to ask the two that are under that 3 cents to raise their budget?
Patty, I'm on that O'Dell Fire Board. I don't want to raise it.
You have to because of the MFO.
Well, we'll have to get out of the MFO then.
Yeah, that's when you guys decide. I don't know.
I mean, it's not them. It'd be O'Dell Fire District. But if they do get out, the way I understand it, then everybody's out. Is that correct?
I think so.
But I think that the new statute, too, though, that they can... How was that?
No, there was a new bill passed in the legislature,
right.
And I don't understand that one very well either, but there are counties where they do not allow even the fire districts to even go out and collect money, and one of those was out in Scott's Bluff.
That's where the bill came from,
yes.
Because there was a little...
political arguing, yeah, squabbling, whatever you want to call it.
Disagreement. So
that bill came before the legislature, and now if they don't, and we would have to do it, and I don't understand all of it. Explained to me, the way it was explained to me was we would have to deny all of these this year, collecting any taxes. Next year, they could go out on their own and get up to 10 mill levy without approval of the board, county board or anything. And that's a very brief description, and some of it could be a little bit wrong, but that's kind of the gist of the bill that came through the legislature.
I know basically, it was designed to see if they can't get that disagreement resolved without going outside the process that most counties have been following.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I understood it, but I'm like you.
And this 3 mill levy of MFO, if I write myself a note and remember to do it, we'll need Brian Dakey up here sometime to explain that because he's the one that...
I've always been opposed to that because as evaluations rise in their district, they're still getting 3 cents.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Never has made any sense to me. Everybody else mill levies drop.
Yes.
They stay at 3 cents. Whatever that valuation is, that fire district, they're collecting more money. That's why you see all the new fire stations sitting around, all the new equipment there. That's not used as often as it should be, and it's never made sense. And if it screws up the rest of them for this year, but if I have to increase that to 3 cents, mm-hmm. I'll have to find out why, because I won't do it otherwise. I said last year, guys, I'll vote for this, but I'm not doing it again. I'm not. It don't make any sense. It's not right.
I'll thank O'Dell and Pickerel for keeping their dollars down there. You look at some of these, talk about jacking dollars up. I mean, some of these are, that's why I asked Patty, where do they even come up with these numbers? Because there's some of these that are way out there. I mean, they're not even in remote ballpark of where they knew they were going to have to be. And then we have Pickerel and O'Dell that actually stayed below that.
Slightly below.
I'm sorry?
Slightly below, but if we got out of the MFO, then we give them that authority to go to 10 mils on their vote, right?
There's some guidelines with that, and I don't understand all the guidelines. There's some guidelines with it. I don't have the bill here, but we'd have to look into that. We don't know. We don't give them authority. They get the authority. We don't
get
give
the authority.
Them, yeah, they get
but in effect,
authority.
We would by going out of it, we would be giving them the authority.
I think
that they've already
given
the opportunity.
Yep.
Years ago, this wasn't done.
Yeah.
We just had the final levy in October, and then you guys took over
three.
The fires, the
right.
historical,
to,
the ag, and so all those entities you're taking over as the county, right? I mean, that's included in the counties.
This 3 mill levy is actually counted in our mill levy, yes. Mm-hmm.
So you have the authority to probably do whatever you need to do. Because I asked last week, because at one time our townships were at 8.5. Now we back down to 7.5. And if you get to those, I'm not sure we can go to 6.5 or lower.
Well, yeah.
I don't know if you want to.
Last year we were at an average of 4.1 mill levy, the townships were. And that's basically because of their lid, their 3.5% lid. They're maxing, most of those are maxing it up to where they can. And because of the valuation, their mill levies come down all the time.
Well, yeah, their levies are really a lot lower than what.
I think roughly the
6 years ago when we first came on the board, half of them were at the 7.5 or in that neighborhood. There was more than 10, you know, and now this last year there were none of them had the full 7.5 mill levy. In fact, I'm not sure we even had any over 7. I know there were some like 6.8 or
something. In the township situation, they can have a special election through their village or through their township board to increase it past the 7.5.
No.
Is this not right, not, Patty?
Their township
request and allowable request? Because this shows that tax rate and this tax rate the same.
Let me see. What are you talking
or
about?
Or is this all?
I'm going to give some more to the quick response.
The townships?
Yeah.
Why are these two tax rates the same? This is the allowable, so this is what they're asking for, so they've all just maxed it out?
This is what they asked for. This is what they're allowed because they stayed under 7.5. That makes sense.
The only one that's different is Philly because they were over.
Yeah, so then I took the 7.5 times the valuation, so they can only have 71,000.
I see. So everybody.
So everybody can have what they asked for, except Philly's the one that's over. And then the 7.5 was what you guys wanted me to keep the rate at for townships.
So everybody just asked to increase it by that 2%, or that is it 2%?
Well, I don't know what they. I mean, they can. I don't know if they can go, but. Past 2% per year or what?
They're 2.5%, and then with a supermajority of their board, which all of them have three, if the three members vote, all three of them have to vote, they can go another percent. So they can, just like us, they can go 3.5% maximum. And that is, if last year they had $50,000 tax asking, then 3.5% on that, and then that's, and then you back their mill levy into that. That's how their townships come up.
So the only way Philly could have more than the 7.5 is if they have a special election.
They had to have a bond of some kind, to be at the 7.8.
I backed it back down.
Yeah, we'd have to go back and look
at
that.
Then they have to adjust their budgets when they turn them into Dawn in September.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand that MFO, Terry.
Well,
I just
briefly, what I know about it, and I'll be real brief. John Breslow, when he was in office, there was a slush fund up there, insurance money that everybody paid in. The state collected part of it out of there. Depending on where you were at in your fire district, you had some high rating, some low. There was a slush fund created. That money went to the state. That money got pretty deep up there. So that state came back and they said, well, we're going to divvy this money up to all the fire districts. But to do that, you have to belong to this organization, and you have to charge 3 cents every year for your local people to keep the fire protection and everything up to where they wanted it. And that's what it was. Well, that slush fund has got down to here now. There's no money left. Those disbursements are basically down to nil.
Oh, really?
No, you don't receive near what you used to. Nothing even close, Myron. And so so they got what they wanted. They got everybody to join to get that money and to charge the 3 cents. But it's becoming not realistic to do it anymore because valuations have risen so high and you're still collecting that 3 cents.
Yep. Any more questions or comments on the resolution 16-20? Well, we don't even have a motion. I entertain a motion to approve or disapprove the resolution setting the final levy authorities.
So move.
Second.
Motion by Durgan, seconded by Thiemann. Any more discussion on resolution 16-20?
So this is a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Yes.
Now, motion by Durgan and seconded by Thiemann.
Now, on this, are we setting the levy as what you have here? I mean,
you're only setting it right now, and then, like, the ones that need to adjust will adjust by the time they turn in their final budget to Dawn.
Okay, so those.
So it's possible they could change. Most of them won't.
With the MFO number in question could still adjust.
Well, your fires, all of those will have to change except those two because they're going to be over. So, like, Adams can only have 67,000 instead of 82,000.
Right, but
so that very first one will have to, the budget will have to be adjusted.
The actress can only have 192 instead of 217. I mean, we're talking big increases on some of these, and they had to know ahead of time that because you've been raising property valuation as fast as you can.
I'm reacting to the market.
Give her a break. It's her birthday.
Yeah.
All right. Got one to watch.
After that comment, maybe. Mark. You know what? I can honestly say you're probably not going to see some of these valuations in the next couple of years. I mean, things are going to probably start to turn pretty quickly. Yep. I mean, I'm thinking, at least in the ag sector, Beatrice and some of those residentials, we had to res some residentials this year. Weimer got raised. But, you know, 28% last year in ag and 7 or 8%.
Two years ago, 28%. Yeah, last year, you was about 8. Yeah. 8 or 11 or something. You weren't 28% last year.
Well, no. 15, I think I was, wasn't I?
These fire districts, yeah. Mm-hmm.
These fire districts that keep on raising. So as soon as valuations drop, they're still locked at that 3 cents. So they're going to drop right along with
their,
it.
Their tax asking will drop too. If valuations decrease in their district, their tax asking amount will also decrease. And Don is going to, on that this MFO on that 3 mill levy, Don's going to talk with the state auditor and get some comments from her.
And so, see what she, because I know what, she presented that to us at our workshop, and I'll see if she can send that to me so I can give it to you guys.
What did she say about that?
She presented that where they can increase up to 10 mil.
Oh, and that
I think
part
it was
it.
Even okay. There was something, if I remember correctly, there was something, even if you don't give them the 3 cents, I think they can still go in and
do
some of their own.
Most of those people will get hung if they do that. Well, I doubt if that's going to happen.
Yeah, so I'll get that from her and I'll give it to you guys so you can read whatever.
Yep. We'll try and have that by our next meeting. Any more questions? Otherwise, vote 5-0 in favor.
6-0.
6-0. Sorry. 6-0. We have 6 votes. Thank you. Next up, approve or disapprove providing 90-day notice for termination of tower lease.
So moved.
Second. To approve, right?
To approve.
Motion by Tiemann, seconded by Lytle. This thing. Well, as you guys know, I mean, we had in the highway department, we had Carla and them here earlier and talking about this Charter tower lease. And apparently First Wireless has only bought the tower. Because as we had this Paul guy here from Road and Bridge, Schaefer thinks they own all the equipment in the buildings. And they're not county. And we've been getting $400 a month for the highway department to have their two-way radios on there. And then we've been paying this other tower lease, and I got that thing along with me if somebody wants to look. But it doesn't say in there who has what equipment or anything.
Are we paying that then? Did we decide we are paying that?
The $400?
No, not that. The other one.
This is the 360 that I found. Yeah.
Well, 360, not 400 even.
Well, 400 is the highway. That's right? Completely different. The 360 that we said was the city stuff, and we're being billed for it. I went back through, and somebody made the comment, I don't know if it was Paul that was here, about the emergency manager. Might have ran through there. Well, I went back and pulled out his records. We've been paying that clear back to 2009, whatever. It's called...
On top of our other lease.
Yes.
See, Charter only had the tower, and that's where all the antennas are on.
Galen's we're double going paying through his budget.
Get on that paper.
What?
Maybe triple.
It might be a triple one because remember there's the extra 120 that they don't know who they're billing.
Well, the extra 120, that's quarterly. He said 360. And yeah. I found the quarterly airtime billing for July, August, and September, $360. And that was here's a bill back in 2009 to Mark Mainz from Schaefer. Now.
So we've been getting that all the time.
Yes.
And paying that all the time.
Yes.
Not after today.
So I don't know what it's for because I don't know what this airtime billing. I don't know why it's this way or what it
when
is.
When you shut it off, you'll find out what it's for.
Myron,
yes.
Should we amend, or should Eric think about amending his
The 400 for the highway department, we are going to keep. That's a different one than what this is. We talked about
this. Yes, I'm trying to find it.
We do need to do
here it is. Here's our tower lease agreement, guys.
We're increasing that a little bit because of increased lease cost.
This is our tower lease agreement that we had with Charter Communications. This is for the tower. This isn't for the equipment and all of that. Okay, so this is different. When he was here the other day with the highway department, that's for just the equipment we're doing in there. That's not the tower lease. This is the tower lease that we approved this in 11-12 of 2014. And this is a five-year agreement that this is the one that the city came to. The city basically threw it up to us and said, we don't have nothing on there. We don't need it no more. We're not paying the lease anymore. And that's when I made the comment at one meeting that Doug Klaus says, no, we need this yet. Doug visited with me about that he wasn't so much emphasizing that the county needs it as there's all this equipment and all that other stuff out there. Yes, the county does need it, and at that time we still needed it. Well, we still need it going forward because we need a backup for the Sheriff's Department, even though we have the statewide system. So Doug and I visited about that for about a half an hour and stuff because he called me about that. But this one here is just for the tower. This isn't nothing to do with any of the equipment in there.
Which is what they're charging more to Schaefer's for, which Schaefer's is passing it on to us.
And they're charging more to Schaefer's also to for Schaefer to keep their equipment there to use that tower, and that's why they're passing. Schaefer's came down and wants to increase the highway department by 10%.
So really here, we have absolutely no connection to this then because we're contracted through Schaefer's who has the equipment up there, who's paying everything.
No, that's the highway department. This is a separate lease. This is the Charter had the Charter owned the tower. First Wireless only bought the tower.
What is that for now, then? That's just null and void since it's gone?
Nope. Part of what they sent us a letter notifying us that Charter did. I got that here, too, that they no longer own that. They have sold that. The purpose of this letter to advise you that effective August 1st, 2016, Charter Communication assigned the tower lease agreement to the tower buyer. As a result of this transaction, any further questions, lease agreements, or anything should be directed to D&D Communications, First Wireless.
First Wireless.
And this was sent on August 2nd.
We don't own any equipment there, though. We just lease from Schaefer?
That's something we need to visit with Mark Meintz about and everybody else, and we also need to get a better understanding from Dr. Darda First Wireless, because according to Schaefer here, according to this guy from Schaefer, Schaefer owns that equipment.
You mean Tim? You mean Tim or Mark?
No, Paul Bale or whatever.
Which means we
visit with Mark Meintz, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we need to visit because Mark was the one that did a lot of this.
Yeah.
We need to get his thoughts on visiting with Carla down there. Need to get Mark's thoughts on how that all came about.
Which most of the equipment in that is Schaefer's equipment. There was, I thought there was a couple pieces that Mark had bought.
Okay.
But the most of that equipment is Schaefer's equipment. It is.
Which we've been paying on, 400 or three, no, 400 for the highway department and 360 for emergency management. We've been paying on the equipment.
So.
No, we've been paying the equipment and tower lease.
We've been paying on the equipment and we've been paying the tower lease. They're two separate things.
But basically, it's a lease on the equipment also. It's not a payment for the equipment. We don't own the equipment. We're paying a lease on that.
But that we're paying to Schaefer's. That hasn't changed.
Correct.
This charter lease is just for the tower.
I'm just saying what we're paying for.
Right. Okay. And this lease was what the city of Beatrice said, we no longer have anything up there. We're not using it. We don't need it. We're dropping the lease, and that's when we, agreed to take this over or whatever for what is, I don't know, the 2700 or whatever. Well, since then, though, we've found out that, no, the city of Beatrice has been using, there's equipment in there they've been using all the time. Their PD, most of their communications go through that tower also. They've been using it all these years.
What a surprise.
What a surprise.
I bet if it's needed, it'll get turned back on. I'm going to stick with the same motion I have.
So, for clarification, there's the tower lease payment, there's the Schaefer lease payment. Is there the third payment then?
Well, I believe the highway.
We pay two lease payments to Schaefer's. Okay. Right. One through the emergency management.
Right.
And one through the highway department.
And this is the one that's emergency management that Don went and found.
Yes. Correct? The 360 every quarter.
Right. Is that one necessary also?
I don't know. He didn't know either the other day when he was here talking to us. He was going to go check his records. Don was going to check our records.
Yeah, I guess that's sure. What I'm saying is do we need to be given 90-day notice on that also? Because do we really need it for emergency management?
Well, that's what this one is on that 360. The 400, we actually
No. It's three payments, Eric.
I'm missing the third one. What's the third one?
The emergency management lease payment that Don's talking about.
We're paying that $360 that paying that the city is using. The highway department is paying $400 for their radios, and then we're paying for a tower lease that the city turned over to us.
Oh, so you're saying get rid of those two because our... Okay, I'll amend it to include that third payment that I didn't understand about.
We better...
No.
Is that all right with you on your second, Gary?
No, you tell us exactly what you're amending it to, because what the 90-day notice... To the 90-day notice for termination of tower lease is this one with Charter and First Wireless. Okay,
I don't think we have an agreement.
He's going to look to see if there was any agreement with the county and Schaefer. He wasn't sure. Paul wasn't sure the other day if there's even an agreement anywhere. Okay,
for the highway or
the emergency manager. Okay, that's just an amount we've been paying. But, however, that equipment has all been there, so whenever it's needed work on to fix, they've had to fix it, keep it going, all of that.
I'll stay with my original motion, but it makes me mad again where we've got these professionals that all they do is work on radios. That's all they do. And... we've got kids that can sit in the classroom and talk cross country nonstop on a cell phone and look up everything they need to on their cell phone. We've got guys riding camels, you know, in the Middle East that are talking across the desert to each other, and they don't seem to have any problem. We have the same conversation every day on these radios. Maybe it's time to get rid of all of our radios and say, use the cell service.
Have to have somebody like the police or Doug Klaus or somebody explain.
They're always going to want something more. They're always going
to
want
explain
something
to you
more.
Why you can't be using just cell phone. I guess I'm not an expert on that. I don't know, you know, and stuff. So, but what's your this on the agenda is to give 90-day notice for termination of this tower lease.
I'll stay with that. Yeah,
that let's go. First Wireless now has.
I think it's probably best to keep them separate.
Yep,
yes.
It is.
And then I would like to have Mark come and explain that to us if we could maybe.
Or just explain it to Myron or Gary.
Hmm?
Or explain it to one of you two.
Mark.
Mark either explain it to you or to Myron.
So now what you guys realize that, and I guess my question is, you're doing this because of why? Because you don't think we need the tower, or because you're fed up that the city stuck us for the bill for 2 years and we shouldn't have to pay it?
Well, we shouldn't have to pay it, but if I understand this right, we're increasing what we're paying because the tower is now owned by somebody else. And what he said, the tower lease is going up, so he's passing that cost on to us.
Schaefer's is a completely separate deal.
But he's getting billed for tower lease.
Right.
Because somebody else owns it, so that's why he's increasing us $40 a month.
Okay, and here's the bill, copy of the bill that comes from the highway.
Is that correct?
So
right, and and I think the way he explained it was Schaefer was paying for some of their equipment also, you know, and we're paying for ours, but that should be, you know, Beatrice's now with our agreement.
And He said that's he's just going to pass his cost along because the new owner's charging him more.
He said right. The new owner increased their rates or whatever.
Which we don't own anything there, so.
But what we need. I mean, I'm not disagreeing you. What we need, we still need that use of that equipment and tower.
Yes, but since we don't own it, we can't lease space for property we don't own. Schaefer's is paying to house that equipment there, correct? And we're paying them additional dollars to operate that equipment there. Plus, we're paying them tower lease so that. I guess so we can stop in and check it out once in a while.
But the tower lease is separate. First Wireless bought the Charter Tower. There's two separate things here. I just want everybody to be aware of, we still have an agreement here, okay? And the reason I bring this up, I don't agree with you for one second that we shouldn't disapprove this tower lease. However, this tower lease goes through November 14 of 2019. We cancel this tower lease, First Wireless, with the city or us or somebody's going to come back and get a new tower lease.
Well, the city sent a representative here to talk about this.
This is Boswell.
Or not. But
oh.
Stuff that we have to sign, there's two pages there.
Do you want to wait on this until we talk to Mark then?
My thought is maybe we need to clarify who has what and everything else before we really vote to terminate this thing. Now I'm not saying that we shouldn't vote to terminate it.
Because there's those.
And
two.
I think we do because the highway department equipment may be owned by them or it may be owned by Schaefer. The emergency management equipment may be owned by us. It may be owned by Schaefer. It may be a mix of the two.
We don't know yet.
Right.
Schaefer says they own our highway department equipment. That's what Paul told us. And that's what the understanding is that Galen's under is they owned everything, they operate everything. If something goes wrong, they take care of it. We've got to pay an extra $40 a month because their tower lease went up.
And our tower lease ain't going to go up till after 2019.
Maybe they should use ours. We'll make them a deal. What are we leasing it for, though? Okay, I can see asking Mark and say, what is this for? Take a look at it.
I have no problem discussing this and doing everything, but I'm not sure we're before I vote to terminate this tower lease, I think we need to have a better understanding that if we terminate this thing in 90 days, we can come back and they can come back and say, now I'm going to raise your, we find out we still need that tower and they're going to come back and raise our rates.
Right. I think we need to postpone it immediately.
Yeah.
Or two.
Or one.
What? Am I thinking right or not? I guess that's.
I think you got the right idea, Myron.
I think so too.
Okay. Well, the motion was to give them 90-day notice. So if you don't want to do that, we have to vote against the motion.
Where did this come from on the agenda? Where did this come from?
Right here.
The discussion the last few weeks of the fact that we've been paying this tower lease all the time and the city told us they didn't need the tower and now we realize that they needed the tower the last 2 years. That's where that item came from on the agenda.
Okay.
I can withdraw that, but I...
They can withdraw the motion.
They can withdraw the motion.
And second.
And then we...
I'll withdraw the motion with the anticipation that we're going to talk to Mark, figure out if this is even anything we're using, if we're double or triple paying. Because I'm disappointed to hear there's a third payment that I didn't even realize was there.
Well, no, there's two more payments. Well, I didn't realize the highway department was paying anything, and then I didn't realize we were still paying. Emergency management's been paying $360 every quarter, also.
And on that tower, I could see the highway department. I mean, that's a great tower.
What they said was for the city.
I could see putting
this here, and we've been paying this.
Yes.
We need to total up this bill and see what this all is.
A lot of years.
I just say, you just drop it back, start with Mike's, and you're going to be relying on his memory over years of negotiations. It's incredible something can get this. I don't know if we own it. I don't know if you're leasing it. I don't know if we need it. My heavens, I can't wait to hear Doug's comments on the radio. I mean, this is like that little Abbott and Costello thing. Who's on second?
Well, I don't know if we use it. This communication equipment is just a nightmare. I don't understand how no one understands.
Well, nobody. That's why you rely on the experts. And then when they tell you, they don't know if they own
it. Experts don't know what's going on. It'd be like running a planter
then you get
without
real nervous.
Seeing.
And part of this came, if you remember, after our last committee meeting, Carla was up here and First Wireless was going to go down there and check all that equipment out, okay, to see whose was who. Well, lo and behold, they found out that Carla said that they went down there, but no, they didn't get the okay to check out all the equipment because they couldn't get in some of the buildings because that's still Schaefer's. That's not First Wireless or Charter's building. So, I mean, this is something that I'm not sure how many people even understood what was all going on out there.
I'd say it's ours. It's time to have an auction.
Yeah. So it's going to take a little bit more time for everybody to sort this out. We can give this 90-day notice sometime in the future if we want to do that, okay?
The people we're hiring for communications, they are experts, right? I mean, they do this for a living?
Well, Doug said he's going to start doing it on the sideline if he can start billing the county $400 every quarter and stuff. So he's going to do it too, you know. So.
Is any of the equipment at Queeby?
For nothing, right, Doug? For nothing.
Is any of the equipment at Queeby, does that belong to
is
the
Is it
county?
On Charter Tower?
No.
No?
No, that's the first answer I've heard at this discussion, I believe.
Yeah, it was just a no. It's
On a serious note, this has become a cluster, God. And it needs to be figured out. And I'm with Eric. The frustration with this communication stuff is getting to be very high because, you know, going back to state radio system, you had Motorola that comes in here and tells you, you buy this equipment, your problems are going to be solved, and then, 6 months later, you need to buy this $10,000 piece of equipment and put in each vehicle because what we sold you isn't good enough, even though
and now they're saying we still need a backup to this, the statewide radio system. Is that right, Gus?
You mean as far as the tower goes?
Yeah. Or as far as the second service, backup. The second means of communication.
Go ahead.
Well, I haven't heard that. That's something the chief was aware of.
When Doug Klaus visited with me, and also John McKee, who is the emergency manager over at Fairbury, who handles all of their communications over in that county. We had the meeting down there, communication meeting on whatever day it was. John McKee specifically said, before you guys rush into stuff and start getting rid of everything, part of what they do over there is to make sure, you have your main system, but if you ever have issues or problems or whatever, they have two more options for backups. Yeah. He says they're not 100% operational. They're not really great, but he says there is that one or two times you're going to need that. Same thing that Doug visited with me about. He says what we need that tower and that equipment for is if you ever have problems with the state ride system, whatever, half a day, whatever, you need the ability to have something else out there that could function as a backup.
Right, and work on the old UHF system.
Right. Now, that comes from those people. That's not my comments, okay? That's not my comments. But there's some, I can agree on some of that, you know, you got them out there and whatever system goes down for a day and there's no communication, we haven't given them all county radios so that they can all communicate with each other like Eric wants to do here, so.
Well, the problem is, so the experts, we can't plan our budget for anything. They tell the sheriff these new, we spend $100,000+ on these systems for the cars. They tell them those are going to work. As soon as we get them installed, they don't work, and we have to spend another $13,000 or whatever $1,000, and that's after he's talked them down on price.
You withdraw the motion?
I'll withdraw the motion.
Wait a second.
Second.
Okay. We will continue to have discussion on that. Okay. Next one up. Approve or disapprove having chairman sign authority for expenditure form from BNSF Railroad Company for public improvement project, widening the road to 48 feet and upgrading concrete crossing on Hickory Road at Hoyg.
And I think everybody should have had a copy of that. I can find mine here. It was for a little over $90,000.
I make a motion to approve, finally.
Yeah.
Who made Jurgen's motion?
Yeah.
And Hill second. And what this is, I don't even remember the date on this. The Kate Kalinske out of the Minneapolis office, we did send her the last agreement. Back in 2014, we had an agreement just like this, came through somebody in Kansas City. However, that was never signed by nobody, Burlington nor us, okay, on this same crossing. Since the amount of visit I've had with them, they said that there may be, they'd have to reevaluate that and come up with a new proposal. This they have. This is in front of their lawyers. As long as their lawyers okay this, they will be sending us that. And what I, this here is doing is just, when it comes here, I can go ahead and sign it. And more than anything, it's just making everybody aware of what their proposed cost is of $90,066. Any more questions? Vote. 6-0 in favor. Anything else? I do have one more thing. We do have on the agenda on next, our next meeting, we will have on there to approve the budget, and that's a timed event at, no?
No, not.
So that's not a timed event. No. But we do have on there at, we'll remind Matt, at 9:15, we do have on there the timed event for, the chicken, permit, public hearing. That will be during the day. That will be on the 14th. And unless somebody comes up with something different, or even at that meeting, unless something comes up, we will plan on, the plan is, and I've told everybody that at the zoning meeting, we will plan to vote on it after that public hearing.
This will be during our regular meeting?
During our regular meeting.
Long day.
It'll be a long day then.
That means I'm going to have to have
It'll be a little longer meeting.
Do that, or?
That's why he's down here today and not next week. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it a regular meeting during the day?
Yeah,
yeah, I'll probably. Pat wants to talk to us in closed session about the...
Right. Okay.
All right. I didn't know.
Yep. No, we don't have closed session on the agenda, but Pat has come down to talk to us again about the after 6. So we will... I guess anybody else have anything else on the regular agenda? Otherwise, we didn't have it on the agenda, but we will be going into closed session here in a minute. Anything else for the good of the order? If not, I will entertain a motion at 11:07 on the clock to go into closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Hill. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Okay. It's entertain a motion to come out of executive session at 12:11 on the clock.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Byers. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Meeting adjourned unless somebody else has something else.
Hey, Jurgens.
Jurgens.
Where are you buying lunch at?